Friday night, our weekday wrap-up of the week's report with Dr. Henry Nyman each night, Monday through Friday, the third hour. And the numbers are going up exactly as Henry forecast and predicted they would. It wasn't even a prediction. It was just a statement. We know that Georgia, for example, now 485 cases, deaths up to 14 already. These numbers are going to go very high in the coming weeks, and not very many weeks. A couple, maybe one or two. Interesting. Kate Brown, the governor of Oregon, who is strikes me as an airhead, said no to a statewide lockdown. And I kind of salute that. I don't think it's necessarily the way to go. She said the storm is coming, but we still have time to change its course. Stay home and stay healthy. But those aren't orders. She's talking to the people in a rational way, and I think that these shutdowns are really going to ultimately be minimally productive. Time will tell. I'm not an expert. I don't know. They're having to use the military in Italy now because people are getting stir-crazy, and they're trying to sneak out to at least talk to their friends. We understand. The point is this, and I'm speaking not for Dr. Nyman, but for me. Donald Trump, as the president and commander-in-chief, standing in front of the Constitution of the United States of America and the full military-industrial complex, not to mention the intelligence agencies involved, knew full well what was going on in China in probably November and certainly by early December. He knew. The intel is extraordinary. But Donald Trump has been under the boot, the thumb, the influence, the hegemony of Jerry Kushner for a long time now. And about a week ago, there was a story, it didn't last long, that Trump was yelling and raging that Kushner had led him astray by encouraging him to understate the danger, to play it down, to mock it. He tried to blame Kushner for it. Is that real? Is it Memorex? Is it a lie? I don't know. But all of a sudden, Trump had to morph his way into alleged responsibility. But we lost the opportunity to do many things in early January. He should have, as commander-in-chief, ordered immediately the creation of factories to produce hundreds of millions of face masks, PPEs of all manner, to build ventilators. He hasn't built a single ventilator. He's going into the strategic reserve. He said, well, we've got 200,000 of them or something there. I don't know what, but we're going to need a lot more than whatever's in the strategic reserve. The bottom line is we elected this man to lead the country. He has failed beyond miserably. It is a black tragic comedy of incompetence, ineptitude. He's yelling at a news reporter today at his news conference. He's a clown. He's a buffoon. He's in so far over his head, it's not funny. And shame on Fox News for riding right along with him and playing games. It just didn't work out. Who's calling me here? Now. All right. I'm not going to say much more. I think you know pretty much how we feel about it here. Not Henry, but we at Rents.com. It's not something we can take we can't take any pride in anything that this administration has done. Nothing. Even today, Tony Fauci, the doctor, the eminent physician involved in so many National Institutes of Infectious Health or something. Anyway, he literally contradicted the dumbass Trump on the air and said, no, that these malaria drugs will not work. Trump said after that, he said, well, we have faith in them, and I've been told, and this. It was embarrassing. It was another obscenity. This is a terrible freak show of incompetence that has already led to the deaths of Americans and will lead to the deaths of a hell of a lot more of them, not to mention the suffering of those who get through this. Yes, I know 75 or 80% will survive it, but there is also strong data that spells out that there are permanent pulmonary, neurological, and brain issues involved with people who do go through this virus and survive it. So where are we right now on the 19th? This virus is going to burn its way through this whole society from coast to coast. Things will never, ever be the same in America again. Those who control the planet are making changes with this terrible pandemic as their guise. That's how they're doing it. Henry Nyman, welcome back. It's the end of another week. Let's get at it.
Well, it's good to be back, Jeff, and there's certainly a lot of activity. I'll go over Trump commentaries today and in general shortly, and I just wanted to kind of set the stage a little bit with the U.S.'s position in the world, so to speak, with regard to this outbreak. One of the things that's been driving the shutdowns has been concerns that the U.S. was on a trajectory to kind of mimic Italy, and there's a lot of concern as to what's going on with Italy with regard to overrunning the hospital system and having deaths and having to make decisions as to who to treat and who not to treat because there weren't enough doctors and there weren't enough beds and there were too many doctors that had died and there's too many doctors that have been infected. And it's just, a situation you don't want to get into. But the situation there continues to deteriorate. A couple of days ago, they had gotten up to 475 deaths in one day. And then the next day it was 427, which was yesterday. Well, today it was 627. So that is by far the highest. That's almost as many who died in the entire SARS outbreak. SARS was about 770. This is 627 one day in one country.
Wow.
And so the numbers are, they're also getting up with cases. They continue to climb. Today they had almost 6,000 new cases, 5,986. So they're up to 47,000. And the U.S. is really right on their tail. I had said a couple of days ago that we were going to start jumping past each of these countries in front of us. And I said we're going to go past South Korea. South Korea's got 8,600 cases, and we're going to go past France, and France has 12,600 cases, and we're up to 19,000, and we're within 600 cases of Iran, we're within 800 cases of Germany, and we're within 1,400 cases of Spain, and tomorrow we'll be in front of all three of them. And the only two countries in the world who will have more cases than the United States is Italy and China. So we're going to move into third place tomorrow. And we're going to move up on the death side also. And the driver of our move right now is, well, there's two drivers. One is all of these states are now starting to get into exponential growth. They're getting into, just as you said, they're getting into the hundreds. They're getting into the 500. And when they get up to 500, then in a couple of days, they'll have another 500 because it takes about 2 days to double now at the rate that it's going. And the real driver is New York City. New York City just announced that they are up to 5,151 cases now. And
wow.
New York State wow. is almost up to 8,000. So New York State alone has as many cases as the entire SARS outbreak in the world, because that got up to about 8,000. New York's already up to 8,000, but they're going up by a couple thousand a day between the city and the state. And so that's why I say we're going to go by all three of these countries that are in front of us, and we're going to be in third place behind Italy. And that's what drove the shutdown, is New York City, or New York, the whole state, uh-huh. started with saying that non-essential had to cut their workforce down to 50% in the office. The rest could work from home, but they had to reduce the density of the workers in their office spaces. And mm-hmm. then they added another 25 and said they could only go up to 25%. And then today they went to 0%. They said they had to shut down by Sunday. And the reason was because in spite of these original efforts to cut back, there were too many people that were violating and ignoring it, and the numbers continued to go up. And they went up not only in numbers, but it was the percentage, which was the real kicker that showed exactly what was happening. And just to put the percentage into perspective, the percent positive is rapidly changing. And the reason it's changing is because flu season is ending. And so there are people that, A, have flu-like symptoms because they have the flu. And then there's people that have flu-like symptoms because they have some other respiratory disease. In some cases, other coronaviruses that generally are like cold viruses, and they produce the same types of symptoms. But mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. They don't go into breathing difficulties and into pneumonia. They basically have a cough and a runny nose and a headache and a little bit of a fever. And so they mimic it. And the testing that is done pretty much requires that you're symptomatic. That's at a minimum. And then they can kind of wiggle around what else you need, whether you have to have a contact with
right,
a known case
or
you have to be out of the country or whatever. But at a minimum, they're going to want you to be symptomatic. And so because the symptoms of COVID mimic these other flu-like symptoms, that during the flu season is very hard, because everybody assumes that if they got flu-like symptoms, they got COVID. And they want to be tested, and in many cases, they just have the flu or they have some of these other viruses. So, mm-hmm. number one, those other viruses are going down now. Flu season is starting to wind down, so there's going to be fewer flu cases and fewer other respiratory illnesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then at the same time, COVID is ramping up. And the numbers are going up pretty dramatically. They've kind of gotten to a critical mass. And so they're going up exponentially. And when they're going up exponentially and there's, you know, 5 cases, well, then it goes up to 10 and 20. That's not that big a deal. But when it gets up to 50 cases, then you're adding 50 and 100. And then when it gets up to 500, then all of a sudden in a couple of days, you're adding 500 more. And when you start getting into those numbers, you're not only adding that many cases, but you're starting to add in deaths. Because once you start getting hundreds of cases, then you start getting deaths. And it kind of depends on who those cases are. If they get into these long-term care facilities, mm-hmm. then you know, the deaths can go up pretty quickly. And a number of long-term care facilities have reported cases recently. And so that virtually guarantees that deaths are going to start going up, because initially, just like in Seattle, that initially you get a few cases that go in and they get hospitalized and they go into the beds that require breathing devices, intensive care units, and then they end up dying. And so
we're not hearing, Henry, by the way, excuse me, we're not hearing anything about these other extended care facilities suffering infections. I think that's kept out of the news. I think this is going to be a real dynamic to this entire pandemic in this country. It's going to go through these homes like a power lawnmower.
Well, what it is the numbers are getting up so high, and there's so many other issues floating around that they're not drilling down and getting deep. I mean, there's one where some of these long-term care facilities are where they're doing lockdowns. I mean, one's in Illinois in DuPage County. And there's another one in Columbine in Colorado. There's some in New Jersey now that have just announced a few. So you basically have to read their reports. If you go to the state reports, they'll give you some details, especially if they get several from that. And they'll kind of, and they'll pretty much just tell you at the beginning. They're going to say, well, they had two cases and they were associated with a long-term care facility that they just did in New Jersey, where one died who was a resident, and then another one died who had a relative who was in there. He was just a visitor, but he was like 60 and he died, and the other one was 80 and they died. And then it was like, well, how many other people in the long-term care facility are showing symptoms? And that's where you realize that these numbers are going to start to go up, and they're going to go up fairly quickly. But in any event, the numbers in general are going up, and they were using the low percentage as an indication that, well, things really weren't that bad. And they went and they said, well, we started to get more tests and we started to do some more testing, and we were getting 1-2% positives. They said this about a week ago. And they said, yeah, that's the kind of positives that they've seen in other countries, but it wasn't something that got totally out of control. And then a few days ago, they kind of came up with the revised number. And they said, well, we're getting about 7% positive. But it's going up a little bit, but that's, you know, somewhat because the flu season's kind of going down, so you're getting a little bit higher on the positive. And then, like a day ago, they said, well, we're getting 12% positives. But, you know, if we have 12% positives, that means we get 88% negative. So we're still, most of the testing that we're doing are still coming up negative. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a trend there. It went from 1 to 7 to 12 in a week. Okay. The kicker came out today, and it was a religious Jewish community in Brooklyn. And what had happened, these were very religious. They basically, you know,
Orthodox.
Do prayers on a daily basis. They all go to the same synagogues. They go, the kids are all in parochial school. They go to the same schools together. And they were kind of ignoring, you know, these warnings to kind of keep your distance and, you know, maybe you should be closing down the schools and maybe you shouldn't be going where in crowded places. And, you know, all of these things are crowded. It's a type, I mean, these are the same communities that had the same problems with the measles, and the measles were running through the communities, and that's why they were at record levels in the U.S., because they hadn't vaccinated, and they were just passing it from one to the other, and they would end up with 50, 100 people at one location. But in any event, they were kind of ignoring this. So some members of the community thought, well, this might be a problem because they're not paying any attention. They're going about their business per usual. There's a lot of these crowded conditions, and we're not being tested. So they set up a testing facility in Brooklyn. They didn't want to do it inside. They set up a tent. They had people get in line. They told them not to get too close together. And they had these kits. I don't know where they had. They basically had the sample collection so they could do the nasopharyngeal swab. They could put it in the shipping fluid.
Collection kits, of course. Yeah.
Right. And then they just had a contract with a certified lab that would run the COVID tests for them and give them the results. And they tested like 900 people. And the city said, oh, you're not supposed to be doing that. You need a permit to do this testing. You got these people standing in line. You got them going into a tent. Some are going there with 103 temperature. They'll cough once, and everybody in the tent will end up getting infected. And you really shouldn't be doing this. We don't approve of this type of independent testing. But they didn't say that we don't believe your test results. And so they tested a little over 900 people. And how many positives do you think they got?
300. 250.
500. 500. They
oh
were
my.
Over 50%. They had 56% of those tested were positive. And when you get to 56%, you've got a problem. And
you're
even though you're selecting people
in
that
trouble.
Got some type of symptoms,
yeah.
50% coming up positive out of 900, not 50 out of 10. You know, it wasn't like they tested 10 and they got 5 positives. They tested almost 1,000 and they got over 500.
What state was this again? What city, Henry?
This is Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
This is in New York City.
Got it.
And when they started doing it, they had a high percentage of the positives because they started this about a week ago and they weren't doing that much testing in the city. I mean, most of the testing was out in the suburbs, out by New Rochelle. They were focused on that and they were doing some testing in the city, but not that much. They had these different locations around the state, and they were, you know, getting a little bit all over the place, and they weren't that focused on the city. And this Brooklyn location represented something like 50% of their samples. I mean, when they had their first 100 positives, there were only about another 100 positives throughout the whole city. So they were, it was a significant number relative to what was there. And so today it came out that, there's videos showing them all lined up there. People are driving by and taking pictures of the guys.
500 out of 900. I'm just
That's right.
blown away.
Wow. 500 out of 900. And so that explains why there's this type of concern. Because what's happening is they're getting, this 5,000 positives, and they say, oh, well, that's because they're doing a lot of tests. Well, yeah, they're doing a lot of tests, but they're getting a very high frequency
of sky
positives
high.
With those tests.
Sky high.
And this is the type of number, when you get to that level, where you got half of the people that got a cough actually have the virus,
right.
Then you've got the level where definitely in the exponential phase, and it's where, especially you have a close-knit community like this, if they're all going to the synagogue multiple times a week and they're all congregated there and all the kids are still in school, you're going to get people that get exposed multiple times. So that's where you end up with this high viral load, so that you can get infected by two or three people because half of the people in the room have the virus. So all of a sudden, you're getting these higher loads, you're getting this more severe disease, and then you're able to pass it on to the next person that starts out higher, so they go up to these higher levels, and then you've just got a major outbreak where it's spreading like wildfire. So the tests work. They closed all the synagogues. They closed all the schools. and they realize that they've got a major problem, but they've got a major problem. And they're probably not the only, I mean, well, you can just kind of figure who else did these 500 people interact with? I mean, 500 people in a relatively small area.
Thousands, maybe.
Right.
Thousands.
And so you have all of these other contacts that are going to be positive also. And that's why they got to the level of, well, you just have to assume that everybody's positive. And you have to basically cut down exposure and essentially don't go to work, kind of stay in your homes. You can go out shopping. You can, you know, bring food in and just don't have, you know, any types of activities where you're in contact with a bunch of other people. So they want you to go in the office. So that's why they raised that up. And they did that in New York. They did that in Pennsylvania yesterday. They did the same thing. They went and they bumped it up, and only essential can go to work. Everybody else, if you're going to go to work, you have to do it, you know, from your home by computer. You have to close the offices. Here in Pennsylvania, they have to be closed by, well, they were supposed to be closed by 8 o'clock last night. And they're going to start enforcement on Saturday. I don't know, it might be midnight, so it might be Sunday. And they're going to go and start issuing citations for any business, any non-essential businesses opens. And it's they're going to do it. They just announced they're going to do the same type of thing in Chicago, and they're doing the same thing in the entire state of California. And they're not doing this just to kind of destroy the economy and put everybody out of work and create all kind of problems for everybody. They're doing this because these are the types of levels that the virus is at. And because it's at those levels, it's gonna strain the entire healthcare system.
No, it's going to break it, Henry. It's not going to strain it. It's going to break it.
And it's not just going to be those that are infected, they're going to have the same type of problems with other people going in for some type of surgery or a car accident or whatever, that there's going to be a limitation. The beds are going to be full and the doctors are going to be busy. And if they don't get these PPE issues settled, they're going to start losing the doctors. And they're already short on masks. They went and they got some masks from the Strategic Reserve, and they were expired. And you might think, well, you know, how bad can they be if they're expired? You know, they still should work.
I hadn't read that. That's another disgrace.
Yeah. Well,
you can't give our health professionals expired masks, for God's sakes. Well, they're telling the nurses in Washington to wear bandanas now, ladies and gentlemen. Bandanas.
Well,
that's the CDC.
When you take the expired mask on and you put it on your face, and you know you have the little band that you put around your head to hold it in place, the bands break. So they're not functional. They break.
So much for the strategic reserve,
huh? The plastic bands break. Right. Right. Really? It was good 10 years ago when they bought the stuff, but they never replaced anything. And
they might have bought
expired.
It 20 years ago. Henry, and the rubber and the elastic and the bands just dries out and it's gone.
Right, right. And so that's what they got. They got non-functional masks there.
Oh my God.
Of these contracts, they're going to go ahead and get them from 3M. And my understanding is they're not going to ship them from 3M. They're going to start making them at 3M. And it's going to take
weeks or months. That's right. No, they're going to have to ramp up production from zero start making them.
Right.
But let me say one thing. This issue of the masks being dated and falling apart, I didn't know about. Maybe that's why Trump yesterday ordered the military to come up with PPEs and masks. Where they're supposed to come up with it, I don't know. He also told the state governors today, get busy and find your own PPEs for your healthcare workers. He told them that.
Right.
I've got the story.
Right.
This man is so negligent and so despicably irresponsible. I've got to be careful about what I say. I've never seen anything like this.
Right, and he's going to blame everybody else. He's going to say, "Well, you know, you're the guys who need to get these masks. You know, if you need them, just go get masks." And of course, there aren't any masks to get, and so they're starting with putting the recipes out on how to make them with the sewing machine, and you know. It's going to take
this is a first world country,
10-15 minutes
America.
To make one mask out of cloth that isn't going to work anyway.
That's right.
And then they're talking about that this one may work. They're going to start making them with 3D printers. So they're going to put the recipe out there, and they're going to ask for whoever's got a 3D printer, go ahead and make these masks, and we'll buy the masks from you or whatever. And so they're trying to get individuals to pitch in to make the masks. And that actually might do something. I'm not sure how many people have 3D printers or how long it takes to make them. You know,
I don't know.
How fast.
I don't know what the volume could be, the capacity.
Right.
I have no idea.
Right, right. But in any event, that's what they're down to. It's not like, oh, put in an order. We're going to be out of these masks in next week, so make
they're
sure you get
out.
Them the next few
they're
days.
They're already out.
I know.
They're telling
I know.
The nurses to wear bandanas,
and
for God's sake.
And there's nobody to buy. There's nobody to buy them from. And I heard about this like over a week ago. I told you there's an emergency room physician up in Oregon who called and
right.
said,
"Yeah, yeah,
you know,
we shared that
the,
right
the,
here." Yeah.
They said, you know, you didn't need a N95 mask. You could just take any kind of mask. And he was saying he didn't think that was accurate. And so they didn't have that. But that's the type of problem. And that's what the concern is. And exactly what Trump is doing, it's not clear. I mean, first he said that, well, he signed the papers to say that we could get stuff from the Strategic Reserve, but he didn't order anything because he wanted to see if they really needed them. You know, so he's going through this whole thing where
this is unbelievable.
He's just dragging his feet, and then he thinks that he can just go ahead and say, "Okay, ship them," and they're going to ship, and the masks are expired, so it doesn't matter if you ship them or not; they don't work.
Well, all the latex, they're probably 25 years old, 30 years old. The latex dries out eventually and disintegrates. Let me do this. Hold on. Here's a story. This is President Donald J. Trump. On Thursday, yesterday, put the onus, the burden on the state governors of this country to obtain the critical equipment their states need to fight the coronavirus pandemic. Telling reporters that the federal government, and I'm quoting here, is not a shipping clerk, end quote, for the potentially life-saving supplies. That piece of garbage just threw everything in the face of the governors and absolved himself of all responsibility once again, as he does over and over and over.
Only in his mind.
That's right.
I think most of the people know whose responsibility it is, and that's essentially what he said,
Henry, that was a quote. He told the governors,
we're not a shipping
clerk.
I heard him say it.
I just, for our listeners who didn't, that's what he said.
Right. And that's what the problem is. And the thing that makes it so bad is you've got all these healthcare workers, and they kind of know that they're going to be, you know, in combat duty, essentially.
They're going to be sacrificed, a lot of them, and they know it, Henry. They're
going
to die, some of them.
Right. And you know, they've all got a background in science and in medicine, and they want precision. They want, you know, exact statements. They want facts and figures. They want this to be databased. And Trump is just anti-science. You know, he doesn't know any number. He just throws things out. I mean, he's got this drug that he's pushing that is not been approved. There's a little bit of in vitro data.
I'm sorry, he told us
there's
it was approved.
There's a little bit of anecdotal. Right,
gosh.
Right. And then the FDA came up half an hour later and says it's not approved.
Nope.
The
guy just makes it up. He makes it up out of thin air. It doesn't matter.
Right.
He just talks.
Right.
He just runs his mouth. He just says whatever he thinks he should say.
Yeah, he thinks that whatever you'll believe, he'll say. Yeah, and his opinion is this is a, you know, got a good shot. He's got a good feeling about it. Yeah, you know, he throws all these things out, and nobody puts any value on that. That needs it because they know he's just talking. You know, he has no data. He has no scientific background. He has no knowledge about what he's talking about. He just thinks it sounds good, and the people are going to believe it. And that's what the FDA came out and said. I mean, it was approved for malaria. This is an off-label use. And, you know, they think it's a good idea to do clinical trials, but it's not a good idea to kind of hang your hat on and say, oh, we've got this cure and we're going to start making it available immediately or going to send this out. And you've got a totally different population. I mean, you've got, for the most part, the ones that need it the most are an elderly population with underlying conditions and breathing difficulties. They've got a virus. They've got pneumonia, and it's not like somebody that basically wants to take a drug because they're going to Africa and they want to make sure they don't get malaria or something. Yeah, so it's. Yeah, and he says, well, it's been approved and there's a long history. Well, there is a long history, but it's not with the population that's got an acute viral infection that is basically got their lungs full of fluid before they even start on the drug. And so, you know, there's a little bit of anecdotal information, you know, and that's usually not that well controlled. And people do recover with or without the malaria drug. So it's not, you know, having a handful of examples where people got better is something to be encouraged about, but it's not evidence that, you know, it works on most of the people or it doesn't have any side effects or, you know, that's what the trial's for, is to find out what the real numbers are and does it really have a benefit and does it have any minuses in this type of population. And they don't have data because it really hasn't been used in this type of population. But in any event, that's another example. So that's why Fauci had to get up there and say, you know, he didn't want everybody rushing and say, get me the chloroquine or whatever its name is, or hydrochloroquine. And they don't know really whether it's going to work. And there's potential side effects for some populations. And they don't want to really rush into it until they, you know, get a little bit more data on how well it's going to work in this population. But that's what he does with these press conferences. He goes up there and he uses, there's no precision. There's no specifics. You know, everything he's done has been wonderful and it's never been done before and it's the best ever. And you take a look at this outbreak, and I'm telling you, the only reason he has anything to say on how well he's doing is because he wasn't testing. So that the numbers were low because they weren't being tested. And now that they've started testing, it confirms that the country is overrun with this virus, and it's at very high level, and it's been ignored because they haven't been testing. And so they don't really know how much it's spreading. And now it's getting to a critical level where there are people showing up in the emergency, or at least are calling, and the doctors are giving them an okay to get checked by somebody. But they are testing people. They are finding out that they need ICU beds, and now they're starting to die, and the numbers are starting to go up. I mean, we're up to 260, I think, deaths now. And this is, you know, remember, I told you 2 days ago, we went from 100 to 110, and the reporter was saying, oh, that's a 10% rise in, you know, less than 24 hours. Is that concerning? And before that day was over, it was up to 140, and now it's up to 240. So there's been another 100 dead in another day. And I've been going to each of the states to look at the numbers, and they almost all have deaths now. So, you know, it's not a lot. You know, a lot of them have 1, 2, 3 deaths. But a week ago, hardly anybody had 3 deaths. Other than Washington. Washington had a lot from that long-term care facility, but there was very few locations to states that had multiple deaths. And now they're all over the place. And so the deaths are going to start going up, and the cases are going to go sky high, because as long as they keep testing in New York, and they really have to test in New York because they're trying to figure out exactly what do they have and how bad is it. And they're going to find out it's very bad. These guys, you can't get 50% positives unless it's very bad, even if they do have symptoms that they were getting 1% before, 2%, 7%. They weren't getting 60%, 56%. That's a dramatic elevation over what they've had. And that's the direction it's going. And if you look at the slow, and that's why they're only taking the states that have done the testing that they know they have a large amount. So they know New York has got a lot. They know Washington State has a lot. They know that Northern California has a lot. And you got all these other states that basically still aren't testing and have done very little testing. And they've got 10, they've got 20, they've got 30, they've got 40. And now all of a sudden, those states are increasing at the same rate.
Let me make a statement here that'll amplify what you're saying. First of all, a couple quick notes. We are only 136 cases away from overtaking Italy right now, probably less. 136 cases, that's it. The case fatality rate in the U.S., now 64%, to the best of our ability to project it here on my end, not Henry's, but we're here. Henry sends me updates on the states all day long. I'm only posting about the top 15. I don't have room to post them all, so I'm trying to watch the big states. As far as Trump and his behavior, they tried to impeach him for the wrong reasons, obviously. He said in that press conference that Henry was quoting, he saw it, governors are supposed to be doing a lot of this work. And they are doing a lot of this work. The federal government is not supposed to be out there buying vast amounts of items and then shipping. You know, we're not a shipping clerk. The arrogance of this loser is off the scale. It's preposterously off the scale. I've never seen anything more negligent in my life. And as I said, MSNBC's top legal correspondent said, and he won't be the only one, that Trump should be investigated for negligent manslaughter. And I forget the other term, but that was one of them. And he's so right. Go ahead, Henry.
Well, he's been given the authority not to just ship them, these items that are critical. He's been given the authority to order companies to make them. I mean, it's like
it's in his hands. It's fully in his hands.
It's
correct.
It's like, we had a war. The company, the automobile makers, were told to stop making automobiles and make tanks and make jeeps, and because you needed that for the war effort. Here, it's easier. You need ventilation machines and face masks.
Should be making
swabs.
Masks right now, yeah. Around the clock.
Right, right.
Dozens of companies should be doing this. And he's the man. He won't do it.
And if the supply chain in the past went, you got them from China, and China went and used them all up, and they don't really have any to ship, then you set it up in the United States, and you take these companies that are basically empty now anyway. I mean, the automobile companies have shut down. The cruise liners have shut down. They're not manufacturing. They're not offering their ships.
20 million Americans are looking for work to do right now, Henry. 20 million and more.
And that's what you do. You convert this over. This is a war. I mean, this really is at 1918 level. The number of cases that are there. And the numbers keep getting worse as far as Italy's concerned. They're getting higher percentage that end up going in to the hospital, and they have a higher percentage of younger people. It's not just people that are over 60, over 70. They're 20 to 40, and they're ending up in the ICU. Now, they're not dying at the same rate. But like you said, you go into the ICU and you've got this virus and you've got pneumonia and you have to be put on a ventilator. You end up ending up with damage to your lung. And that's the type of issues that I saw. The doctors were getting alarmed because they were doing EKGs and their hearts looked like they're having a heart attack. And that's the type of irregularities they see in the heart when they're infected with this virus.
Again, another thing that's not being discussed. You're so good to bring that out. This is critically important. Those are other issues that are involved. It's not just a pulmonary target this virus goes for. It goes for the brain, goes for the heart. God only knows what other organs it might go to. Okay?
Well, that's what this polybasic plebiscite does. It can go into cells that have this protease called furin, and furin is in a lot of different cell types and at a high level. So that facilitates the ability of the virus to infect different cell types. And if they can infect different cell types, then they can have virus being shed by all these cell types and get their viral load up and make it harder for the person infected to get the virus under control, because the virus has the ability to grow quickly because it's not limited in what cell types it can. I mean, it is limited, but the choices are much broader, and they can create different types of medical complications. So the virus itself is a problem once you get infected. And then the virus is a problem because you do get these higher levels of virus, and then that makes it more transmissible. You're getting exposed to more virus, and it's more likely that you're not going to end up with a mild, asymptomatic or a mild infection that goes away after, a couple of days of coughing. You're going to end up with one that's more likely to go to pneumonia. And then once it goes to pneumonia, then you have all kind of problems. Not only with the virus itself, but with getting treatment, because you're going to overwhelm these facilities. And the doctors know it's coming.
Next week, we're going to see hospitals beyond capacity, and they will be moving into a triage mode. They're going to tell people, sorry, we've got 10 ventilators, there are 100 people here. They're going to pick the 10 most likely to survive. The rest will be told to go home and deal with it the best they can. Trump said yesterday, the administration will help out wherever we can, but added that the acquisition of urgent supplies is really for the local governments, the governors, and the people in the states, depending on the way they divide it up. And they'll do that, and they're doing a very good job of it. This moron, this imbecile in the White House, is anything but a leader. Anything. This is not what a president is supposed to do. I'm disgusted. The governors are disgusted. The people are disgusted. We're in a triage mode. Next week, hospitals will report they have no more room. That means people will start dying. All right?
It's going to be all up and down the East Coast, because that's got the virus that was circulating in the Middle
East. The Italian virus.
Europe, Italian and Iranian. And there's a fair amount of overlap there. It's the same virus. It's in both of So that version has come into the U.S. while we were looking at who was coming from Wuhan. And we were looking there on the late side. By the time we were looking at Wuhan, it had already spread to all the other major cities in China. And we were targeting Wuhan. And so if you came from Beijing and you were infected, you weren't even on the right. screening radar. And by the time you were, they had shut everything down in China. And they weren't paying any attention as to what was going on in Europe. And it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I remember the day. It was the day of the Metropole Hotel. It was on the 21st of February. And it was clear that you were getting all these countries that had no cases previously, or a handful, literally a handful. They had less than 10. And all of a sudden, they started getting these residents who basically had gone to northern Italy, and they had come back and they brought the virus, and they were coming back all over Europe, Africa, South America, North America, where it was detected in Mexico and Canada. It wasn't detected in the U.S. because you didn't meet their criteria. You came from Italy. Oh, That's not a problem. We're only looking for people that are coming from China. You know, they're not close to each other. It's on the wrong continent. It's fine. You probably got the flu, or you got, you know, some other virus. You don't have COVID because COVID's in Asia. It's not in Europe. And you could see these numbers going up, and you could see all of these countries that had zero. I mean, you had them coming into Algeria, you had them coming into Nigeria, Brazil, Peru. You know, there are all these countries that didn't have any cases previously. And all of a sudden, they had somebody that came from Italy, and they were positive. And they showed up in Mexico and Canada. And you say, well, how many does the U.S. have? Zero, literally zero, because you couldn't get tested if you were coming from Italy because you didn't meet the testing criteria. And it turns out that's a version that transmits very easily, and that's why you've got this explosion of cases in New York and New Jersey. Northern New Jersey's got the same issue. And then you got the family I mentioned yesterday that's got four deaths in it from New Jersey. And
Georgia's sky high, too, by the way, is another one. Major airport
yeah,
there.
And the same thing's happened in Louisiana. That was from Mardi Gras. And Mardi Gras went ahead and they held Mardi Gras. It was fine. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, they get an explosion in cases. I mean, they're updating their website twice a day. And it counts up several hundred each day. And by the end of next week, it's going to be going up several thousand each day.
All right. We got to wrap it up.
Okay. So, but by Monday, things will be much worse. Like, I guarantee you, they're going to have two more days of growth.